It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 727. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, and you can go directly to instanthousecall.com. I have never been more proud to have Instant House Call during these times as a sponsor, and how necessary they are for the lifeblood of workers working remotely. And my next sponsor, and I got a story about them that I'll start the show off with, MagnusBox. If you need secure online backup for whether it's a workstation, it's a Mac, Windows, Linux, this is the software. It's easy to use. The client is easy to use. They are HIPAA compliant. Your client is simple to navigate and set up and get a reliable backup. He only sells to partners. You can go to magnusbox.com right now and try a demo. If you mention that you heard them on the Mike Tech Show, as a matter of fact, both vendors, both sponsors, you will get your first 3 months at half price. And that's MagnusBox and Instant House Call. Tomorrow, I have a meeting with a client that for disaster recovery, they want to know how can they back up without monitoring or out. Well, I'm going to monitor it remotely. How can they guarantee backup of the laptops where there's 8 of them out in the field with their users? Well, I just need to remote in, put MagnusBox client for the devices because I already got their server online. Now I'm hoping to add 8 more additional laptops. And what a great, easy way to do it. And I can't wait to have that conversation tomorrow. So, Mike, if you're listening, I'm going to be adding a whole bunch of devices tomorrow. I'm glad he keeps growing, keeps adding servers, keeps adding the capacity. And may he keep doing that. Now, I have some great little stories of COVID-19 in the trenches with my company, especially my son, who's out on the front line still visiting some clients. I'm going to be at a client on site next week because they manufacture components that are used for ventilators. And so they've been in talks with the governor of Pennsylvania, and they are allowed a skeleton crew to start up. I'm the IT support. I got to make sure that the servers and everything are running. And I remotely monitor them and keep everything going now. But, you know, I got to make sure. That might be the only client I actually drop and go out and visit. I have some stories. Then I have a stack of email. So let's get started. A lot of employees, business owners, if they're part of a bigger building, have trouble getting in because your office should be closed. You should already be working remotely. So my son this week had 2 places he had to visit. One, the owner of the company needed his workstation, monitor, keyboard, mouse, packed up and moved to his home. And he has no internet at home. So that's another story. yes, Comcast, but only for the phone and only for TV. So at the main building, my son shows up and the security guard at the front, nope, opens the door and says, you got to go. You're not allowed in. He shows his business card and says, I'm the tech support for XYZ company. It's suite so-and-so. I have to move the owner's equipment. I'm going to be coming down with equipment. I'm moving it over to his residence. He says, you go right ahead, and goes right in. Now, this is, he's moving these to a over 55 community. And he now, it's an hour or two later, and he's hitting that community to meet the owner there. And again, greeted the same way, described what he was doing, and they said, go right ahead. Now he had to also order Comcast to bring a modem for, so he could have internet. Negotiated a great deal on the phone. They said, we'll drop it off in 2 days. This was 2 days ago. They dropped it off this morning. Comcast is not allowed, nor, well, I think this is also from Comcast. They will not go any further than the front of a building or any kind of residential community. They will not go into the suite or the townhouse. And they dropped the modem off because especially there was already something run. My son got the call that it was dropped off this morning. He headed over there. He took the modem, installed it. And what I was saying before the show, we are taking all the precautions. We have multiple pairs of disposable gloves with us at all times. Now, I'm not going out, though I mentioned today was the first time that I went outside in 2 weeks where I had to pick up a prescription. Have you noticed I've had a cough? It's not the virus, but it's a cough that has to be dealt with. So my doctor prescribed a couple prescriptions. I had to go to CVS. I went to the window just to pick it up. I had my gloves. She had her gloves. I was happy. And then we throw them away. Like I went to a gas pump. Can't believe I paid $1.89 a gallon. And then in the chat, I was being shamed. There's people paying $1.28, $1.58. I can't believe the prices. Could be the only silver lining that I've seen in all this is the gas prices. Anyway, once I pumped my gas, closed the tank, I threw those gloves away, went in the car, hand sanitizer, before I touched the steering wheel, even though nothing touched my hands. Then put another pair of gloves on, heading home, just in case I had to stop somewhere or something happened that I had to get out. I am not touching anything. I am being as careful as I can. My son is, because he's the only one really heading out of the house and coming back in. And if I'm going to catch anything, it's probably going to be from him because of him hitting all the clients. But we're taking all of the precautions. So I'm not worried yet about contracting this. We're doing everything we can. My son got all that hooked up. Now, today was great. There's a laptop on the workbench that's doing updates right now. And that is for, and I'm going to give the company because they're medical. It is for someone who works for Aflac. Okay. So I'm taking care of that laptop. So he knows who he is if he's listening. And then it's all finished, by the way, and encrypted and everything's ready to roll. The desktop finally came in today. That's going to be installed tomorrow with three monitors, a huge Canon printer, multifunction printer. It was the only one that I could get within a week delivered properly. And it weighs 62 pounds. So I have to help my son get that into the car. He's got help at the other end where it's going. This, again, one of our clients, one of our bigger clients, the owner wanted the same duplicate setup that he has in the office. He doesn't want to move that. He just wanted it set up from scratch. And we purchased over a week ago, the monitors, everything, and they're just coming from all different directions. And I'm just so glad. Knockwood UPS has been very, very good for the things that I've been ordering, and they've been making it on time for the supplies and the different tech items. I will say this, It's still hard to get webcams, microphones, and I have spent this week teaching users how to work Zoom. It's at 5 different training sessions this week across different clients that their business or the networking organization like BNI. I had my training on Monday because we're going online instead of meeting in person for, you know, till this is all over. And a lot of those users, you know, people, members of the of my chapter have never worked with a webcam before. And this is all new experience. And with Zoom, it's interesting. Everybody's choosing Zoom. I've been getting just slammed with emails from any company that I've ever dealt with or any organization or any piece of software I've ever used, that CEO email. I can't take it anymore. Everybody. And I've been getting a lot of work from home and different, you know, emails. This one I liked because I want to review, since I brought up Zoom. And by the way, Zoom has a Chrome extension and you can use that with a Chromebook. So the free account for Zoom is one session. So you get one person or one office to call you. That's free. If you need more than that, then that's when you pay the monthly. Now, there are other services out there right now. As long as Zoom keeps the bandwidth and has everything running, I think it's great. Couple things to consider. When you're picking, pick a secure video conferencing service. Software companies have begun offering free or enhanced versions of their teleconferencing apps to facilitate the sudden shift in remote workers. Keep in mind that free is never really free. When services are free, they are often collecting information that they can monetize. So again, you still may want to pay the smaller amount, go month to month, for any service that does offer free. I agree with that. Mind your surroundings. It's very important. I had to do a test today, and I was sitting here because it was a little warm when I came from inside, and I took my shirt off, and that would be rude to have a video conference with my shirt on. So before I connected with someone, I said, hold on, I got to put a shirt on. That happened a couple times this week. Be mindful. I warned my wife. I said, make sure you're dressed, and if you come by here, you know, make sure you, especially like now, you know, anytime we're live, be mindful of that, because there's been lots of accidents and lots of things out there and some great stories that are funny, but not if it happens to you. So be mindful that when you are broadcasting, look for an option of a virtual background. So if you're in Zoom, if you go to the settings, take a look. Of course, you got to make sure your sound is set for the right sound card. Make sure the video is right for the right camera. And there you can test right away to see if you can, you know, how's the camera? How's the lighting? How do you look in that test before you connect with someone? Then look at the virtual background if there is, because that's a way to cover up everything behind you. You know, kind of something to consider. Be careful sharing your screen. This is a big thing. How many times have you ever did a WebEx demo and the person demoing, little pop-ups of their email are coming in? Close your email client. You're sharing your screen. Be very mindful of the things on the screen that you're sharing, because you could be sharing confidential information, client information. Just close all of the programs. You don't want anything popping up. Watch for lurkers. This is a interesting one. On some platforms, participants can be displayed on multiple pages, allowing for uninvited attendees to lurk in. Now, this is where you want a private meeting, where you want a PIN or some kind of a number that you can type in to join the meeting. A lot of them have that. Now I can get lurkers here on Twitch, but that's okay. I'm doing this public for the tech show. I hope I have a lot of lurkers watching the show. That's okay. But if you're doing any kind of a private conference or any kind of a secure meeting, something you're talking one-on-one with somebody, whether it's your office or a vendor or a client, make sure you're joining a meeting where it's secure. And that's another thing. You got join.me. There's lots of great video conferencing services. Right now, though, every single one that I've been doing training since this virus hit has been Zoom. I've got my experience down with Zoom. More stories. I was challenged by an employee of one of my clients who almost a month or two ago, and he kept forgetting to bring it in. He says, I have a MacBook Pro that I don't use for the Mac anymore. He says, I don't even know if it even boots properly with the Mac. Can you do Windows 10 from scratch on it? I said, I've never done that. Now, there's a boot camp option that sort of makes the Mac dual boot. And then you got two virtual ways to run Windows on a Mac. You got Parallels and you got VMware Fusion. But I've never done a Mac from scratch, so I didn't know, was this going to work or not? I said, I'll try it. He dropped off the Mac a few days ago. And I had time two nights ago, and I got the media creation tool, had the latest 1909 bootable USB. I put the USB in, and when I turned the Mac on, the one option you need to know to boot from that so it doesn't boot from the hard drive is hold the options key down. So I hold the options key and I get a boot menu and I see my USB stick. I was like, cool. I picked that, boot it. I installed Windows 10 perfectly. This MacBook Pro, although older, has a Core i7, 16 gigs of RAM, and a 500 gig SSD. This thing rocked. It was perfect, except for a few things. Drivers are an issue. The first time I went through, I noticed I couldn't use the Wi-Fi that's built into the MacBook Pro. So I had to pull out one of my Wi-Fi adapters, plugged it in, it read it, loaded the driver, and I was able to connect to my Wi-Fi network. I was like, oh, cool. Now I can go online. I can, let me download my driver Macs and try it. That was my first mistake. I allowed driver Macs to try to boot up, to try to update the video. Boy, after that first reboot, never to boot again. So I'm like, okay, learned a valuable lesson. It was pretty fast installing Windows 10. Let me try this again. So I put the USB stick in, did everything again. Now I know. Quickly go into the drive, go into the, since it's Windows 10 Pro, I brought up the group policy editor and turned on do not install drivers with updates. Made sure that was set. Now I had to run driver Macs again because there were other items in the device manager that there was no driver and it wouldn't find it when I tried updates. So I now unchecked anything relating to the video. Beautiful. Except the Wi-Fi still, the internal Wi-Fi doesn't work. The internal sound doesn't work. So he's going to have to go to external speakers or a headset. I also had trouble after putting, I have a legitimate key with Office 2010 Pro and tried to do, it installed fine, but when I went to activate, it would not activate because there was a problem with the Windows license of the Windows software service. And I tried a couple things with Office. So I talked to my client. He's like, Mike, I don't even need Office. What he really needed is remote access into the machine at his work. Guess what works with no problem? And as Corey hears this from Instant House Call, unattended mode worked under Windows on the Mac. So that was kind of cool. So he was happy. And he came by, and as a matter of fact, before the show, I was talking in the chat, he paid me in cash for the work. And by the way, Malwarebytes installed and ran no problem. So that cash, when he handed it to me, I had my gloves on. I literally had a paper towel laid down. I laid the bills down, took Clorox wipes, wiped both sides of the bills and then threw everything away except the money, of course, kept that. But that's the my, I would like to say OCD, but I know I'm nowhere near that, but I'm definitely taking all the precautions. Benefits of having a second way to connect to a system. Now, this is because I have the RMM Synchro, and there's a Synchro Live, and it has its good and its bad, but you can't not have something else. So since Instant House Call is my primary remote access, what if the user, and this is happening more often than not, what if the user's now at remote, mess things up so bad that Instant House Call isn't running? Well, I need another way in. So as long as the physical machine is on and the internet's up, I Synchro Live in and fix Instant House Call. And now I'm Instant House Called into the remote system and it's fixed and it works. A lot of that's training. People are not used to working remote. So last week was all getting everything set up. This week was home tech support with everybody who was screwing up, who was working remotely. And we had, I got to be careful. Let's just say we have regular users where we hear from multiple times a day. But let me tell you, that's starting to add up when it comes to, when it's going to come to billing to their employer. So I already next week have to review with three companies my primary contact, reviewing the hours, because they are significant for three clients that have depended on us for getting everybody connected and remote in. And we spent some serious hours, my son and I. So they are way over the contract hours and they're going to get billed for that. And I got to just review that. I can't wait a quarter and then hit them with that, which I normally wait 3 months. We're going to hit them up next week with an accounting of all the hours, everything we did, and just say, look, heads up here. This is where you're at. We don't want anybody to not call us. But we also got to balance that with when he sees two of the users, oh my gosh, you had to spend that much time with them? Well, they needed the help. You need them working. Figured I would mention how I'm dealing with that. Now, this is interesting. One of the home systems, my son's connected in, and the first thing we want to do is want to get Malwarebytes running, right? Would not install, just all kinds. So he said, okay, run their tool to make sure wouldn't run. But here's what would run. He transferred the Malwarebytes tool set, ran the tool set, launched it, ran the built-in anti-malware scanner that's with the tool set. That ran, found 60 items, rebooted, everything ran fine. So there was a ton of malware on this system that was preventing Malwarebytes from loading and running. So just wanted to give you things to try, things to do as we're, and this all worked perfectly remotely. Let's start going over some emails. Let's see how far we get. This first one's from Brian, and it's about an Amazon overpayment scam. And I mentioned this, I don't know if it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, starting to see a big uptick on Amazon overpayment. One of my remote customers, Instant House Call, of course, thank you, phoned me with an admission that he had been forced by this particular scam, or fooled by this particular scam. They convinced him of an amount of overpayment, and after getting him to install TeamViewer, took him to the Amazon website to prove they were genuine. And here's the thing. This stuff looks good, and they will convince you. But here's what I don't understand, and everybody is still vulnerable. And I think I mentioned we have this client that they've been conned four different times. We keep trying to teach her. We're like, come on, please. Don't let anybody connect to your system except us. Nobody needs access, but they continue to let people remote in. I can't ever understand that, but I'm trying to put myself in the end user's position. if we've told you over and over and you've been compromised over and over and it cost you hundreds of dollars for us to fix you and you keep doing it, well, you know, what are we going to do? Oh, well, here we go. Okay, we'll clean it. No problem. Boom. Send them an invoice. Get a check. But this Amazon scam's really taken off. And here's what I don't understand. If you use logic here, if you overpaid, why don't you just say, oh, thank you for finding that, credit my card that it was charged on, and I appreciate it, and hang up. Why let them remote in? Why do they want to know the card that's been over, that's already been overpaid? I don't understand it, but you got to stay vigilant in teaching to not allow anyone to remote into your system. Just can't do it. And we got to preach that to all of our clients so they spread it to all their friends. This next email is from Kevin. I have listened to your podcast and even wrote in on another occasion. But tonight, I am at the edge of what I can think of for iPhone and iPad videos. I have never had a lot of need for recording and uploading videos, but one of my management has been putting together videos on his iPad and iPhone, and I have been trying to work through getting them to a OneDrive folder, which has just been a pain. It seems like 75% they get stuck and stop uploading, and the files for like an 8-minute video are like 3 gig. Yeah, when you know, it's depending on the format that you're and what are you using to record them. But I assume it's the default iPhone or iPad. For high def videos, they can take up a lot of space. He continues, he has one of the newest iPhones. Well, there you go. And iPads. And I am trying to find a method to either record directly to the cloud. I don't know about that. That's not going to work well. You got to record locally. Or something that will consistently upload, or a setting that I might be missing so that these videos are not 3 gig videos. It sounds like this is new with the newest iPhone iPads, where they are all like 4K videos. Exactly. So they're going to be large size, which is extreme for these training videos. Even with YouTube, it seems to take forever to upload videos that are that long if they don't get stuck and stop uploading. Any suggestions? Yes, I got a bunch from you or your listeners that would be beneficial for someone like my manager who is not super tech savvy to be able to record and upload these with ease. Here's the problem. It's the bandwidth. You can easily transfer the file from the iPhone by just plugging it into a PC, go to the directory, grab it, copy it. Now, getting it uploaded, it's like me here. I have Fios. I have a gigabit down and gigabit up. It's that upload that if you're Comcast or most of your typical cable providers, unless you're fiber, it's not a bi-directional same speed. Give you an example. Comcast, I have users with 300 meg down, which is great for Comcast, 20 meg up, because that's the cap. It can't go any faster. So you are at the mercy of your uplink in getting it to the cloud. Unfortunately, with low bandwidth, that is the bottleneck. So you almost have to plan this for when the videos are going to be uploaded. Who has the best upload speed? And that's what you want to make sure. Now, for the 4K, yeah, it's going to look great and it's going to be big sizes. But that's okay, but you just got to get it online. Remember, the more you ratchet down the resolution, yes, the smaller it's going to be, but the quality is not going to be good. And you want the best quality that you can have. So look into your uplink speed. Check your vendor. I don't know what your ISP, I don't know what contract you're in, but maybe you at your home, maybe your company will pay if you can get Fios at home. Maybe they'll pay for that extra because you'll be the man in charge of getting these uploaded, and it'll be a piece of cake when you have good upload speed. When I'm uploading my video, it is over a gig. Sometimes it's a couple gigs if I have a long show. I upload it in 15, 20 seconds because of the upload speed. So that's where your bottleneck is. I hope that helps. This is Jason Miller. Again, comes through, listens to the show, has a great suggestion about QuickBooks. You had a guy, Kevin, hosting Synology and using a VPN. If you use the desktop version of QuickBooks, then check out QBox to sync the files between all the computers. It is made for QuickBooks and doesn't give conflicts like Dropbox. And it supports multi-user mode as well. It just works. I will have a link to that. I have to send it to Kevin. And Jason, thank you as always for your great recommendations. This is from John. Again, this is in response to QuickBooks. Mike, I know you work with QuickBooks. I use 3-to-a-page laser checks and mostly print single checks using the pull-out tray center feed. I had an HP M402N, and it printed single checks fine. After getting a Canon MF743 CDW, I get an error each time after printing a single check and have to clear the error on the printer. Canon suggests that to help me, but could not figure it out. The Canon will print a 3.5 by 8 paper size using Word without the error. The Canon rep also said they had a lot of trouble with QuickBooks. I am hoping one of your listeners can help me fix this. Thanks for your shows, and I am using your Amazon link. John, I have an idea. And this helped with check printing for one of my clients. Different printer. They would always have an issue as they were using the open feeder, not the normal tray, and they were feeding the checks in, and they would run into a problem. And it wasn't all the time. It was just sometimes. I said, do me a favor. I want you to put the checks in the paper tray and just make sure, do a test so you have them in the right direction. So do a test check and see how it goes. I want you to try that, but I also want you to try something else. Canons are notorious for having some issues. I want you to do a factory reset. I want you to Google the model number of your Canon. I want you to go through the options to do a factory reset. I then want you to make sure that it's at the latest, greatest firmware. Then I want you to test. So they're my options. If anybody else has some things to try, let me know. Also, when you're resetting a printer, you can't just turn it off and on. No. You got to physically pull the power cord. Wait a couple minutes, put the power cord back in, and you want to know something? That fixes many, many printer issues by just pulling the power plug. Let it start up, let it print whatever tests it needs to do, let it get warm up, get the ready light again, go ahead and try to print. That's my suggestion, John. Let me know if that helps. I am leaving. I got one email I didn't get to because it's a few pages. And there's multiple topics, and this is from Doug. And I will say this for Doug, because he was watching the show on Saturday, and one of his comments in here, and I'll get to the rest of this email next week, he mentioned that when my wife came in from grocery shopping, she had her gloves. That was not her first set of gloves. So that's something I wanted to make sure to cover. You got to have multiple pairs, because if you do the right thing and you have a pair of gloves, during these times, and you go out and you go to let's say you pump gas and you go sit in your car. If you touch your steering wheel, you could be transferring everything to the steering wheel and anything else you touch. You got to throw them away. You got to do the hand sanitizer, put another pair of gloves that you have clean that's in the car that's never been used, and then move on. That was actually because she had to go to two stores. That was my wife's third pair of gloves. that you seen when she was bringing stuff in and someone mentioned, because she had her gloves on and she was on the camera, Doug mentioned that about, you know, reinfecting things because you got to take those precautions. And I just wanted to mention to Doug that we have done that. But thank you for pointing that out, because I wanted to mention that in the show. Everybody mentioned, a few people here, about using my Amazon link. Yes, Carrie Holzman and myself share an Amazon link that before you put anything into your shopping cart at Amazon, click on the link on our website or go to tech-vets.com and click on the link for supporting Tech Vets or supporting the Mike Tech Show. You're supporting both of us. When you add the items into your cart and check out, we will get a small commission. Now, we don't get that right away. That takes 2 months because they have to leave enough time just in case you return something or whatever. So we're on a 2-month cycle. So last month, we got December's Christmas orders that were done in December. We didn't get till February. So just keep, you know, but just keep buying. If you pay 10 cents for something, use our link. It helps. It adds up. Every bit helps us, and we greatly appreciate that. And mentioning Carrie, got a great surprise for you. We did a show this week. We will do a show Wednesday night next week. Yes, it happens to be April 1st. Don't worry. I wanted to do something Carrie won't, so I can't help myself. We're not going to mess around with you. Don't worry. But we are doing a show 8 p.m. Eastern time on Carrie's YouTube channel. We're going to do that live Wednesday night, and then I'll see you back here Thursday night, hopefully, at 7:30 Eastern time. Don't forget, support our sponsors and affiliates, InstantHouseCall.com. Go to InstantHouseCall.com, download the trial, check it out. Also, MagnusBox for all your online backups at MagnusBox.com. Our affiliate is Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. We have two laptops being dropped off on Monday. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to take the hard drive out of the old one, hook it up to a USB, say to the USB, plug it into the new laptop, and do a transfer with Fabs. Boom, done. Piece of cake. Then put the old hard drive back, and we transferred everything. That's it. Thank you. I appreciate all of your support, all following us and watching Carrie and I, me. We're going to try to deliver during this quarantine time that everybody's going through. We're going to try our best to deliver as much content as we can get together and deliver. Thank you. See you next week.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.